What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hello and welcome to the Sky U podcast by the Daily Gopher. I'm Chris, go away you fur. With me this week is Andy, Gopher Guy 05.
Hello everybody.
And you Street.
Hey y'all.
Well, it is March Madness, friends. We are currently on the Wednesday night recording, so second part of the first four, or whatever the heck they call that nonsense up in Dayton, is tonight with the full bore March Madness you've grown to know and love kicking off tomorrow. This is also a good time for me to remind anyone who's listening that hurry up. You can still join the Daily Gopher Bracket Challenge and have the chance to win some home field apparel if you have the best bracket of everyone who enters the TDG Bracket Challenge. So go to thedailygopher.com, go to the TDG Bracket Challenge post, and all the information you need for joining in will be right there.
That's right, home field apparel. Not just for all that nonsense up in Dayton, but also for sweet swag. We're a big fan at the Daily Gopher, and there is very much a free t-shirt at play for anyone who wins the challenge, plus the added advantage of getting to say with confidence that you are smarter than all the people who write for the blog, which you can probably already say, but maybe not with 100% confidence.
I mean, at least 87% confidence would be my guess for most people. All right, March Madness, it's a wonderful time of year. I am certainly looking forward to watching a lot of basketball tomorrow. I guess it's, you know, I don't even know where to go with this. Like, I could ask you your favorite upset pick. I could ask you your Final Four selections, but you don't want to give those away quite yet, maybe. Just what are you looking most forward to, Street, when it comes to March Madness?
I am looking forward for Charles Barkley trying to pretend he has watched a single college basketball game all year. Unquestionably my favorite part of all of the commentary associated with anything around March. I am interested because I have not been able to see as much as I've wanted to. I think there are a couple of teams that I'm just interested to watch play. So in terms of the major teams, Baylor, for example, is a team that I haven't been able to see very much of this year. They also have a lot of injuries, and so that'll be interesting to see how that team fares. Plus, I will be honest, I'm not a big fan of Scott Drew, so Baylor losing is not something that I would be particularly disappointed by. So that's part of it. I am secondly interested to see whether or not the Big Ten is as crap as we think the Big Ten is. I believe in some sense the Big Ten had a very much a down year relative. I don't think by any means it was the strongest conference in the country this year, either at the top end or throughout, either way you want to do it. So, however, I think that the Big Ten has some surprisingly good matchups, especially in the first round. And so more Big Ten teams than we might have expected otherwise will advance. And of course, as always during this time of the year, I am looking forward for when Wisconsin loses.
Andy, what will bring you the most joy from March Madness this year?
Yeah, you know, it's just always fun to spend two full days basically watching nothing but basketball. And, you know, it's always that first crazy game that goes right down to the wire will be either end on a buzzer beater or go, something crazy to send it to overtime is always fun. And admittedly, it might be right away Thursday morning. I think we've got, you know, two pretty good, you know, evenly matched games starting off right away. I think the Colorado State-Michigan game is first tip Thursday morning, and that one could be easy. It could be interesting, especially with the advantages that Michigan is a lower seed is getting from the NCAA, as Colorado State had a little bit of travel trouble, and Michigan just get an easy little trip down to Indianapolis from Ann Arbor. But, you know, so that's always fun. I'll be interesting to see. I mean, I think there's a lot of top teams that nobody really knows about. Is Gonzaga for real? We think they are, but nobody really knows. Baylor's got the injury issues. Kansas has looked great at times and looked absolutely awful at other times. Can they hold off? What's Duke going to do? It's Kentucky coming on hot at the right time, or will you see some of the potentially underseeded teams like Tennessee as a 3 or Houston as a 5 make runs? I think there's a lot of questions and no real good answers. And there's some, interesting matchups with some of the higher seeded teams. Teams that, I thought might have gone on a run. South Dakota State is 13, getting stuck with Providence the first game. That's a tough one. Same thing, Chattanooga's got to go through Iowa. Probably not a great matchup for the Mocs, but that's another team that had the matchups been a little bit differently. I could have seen Chattanooga easily as a Sweet 16 team too. So it's going to be interesting to see who will pull off those upsets. Or who will, survive the matchups and be able to advance to the second weekend.
Well, obviously we don't have any postseason to talk about for the Gopher men, but the women made the women's NIT, which honestly was a bit of a surprise. What's both the, I'll start with Street. What's your take on what we're going to see out of the women's NIT? Basically one more game and done, or a little bit of a run?
Well, frankly, hard to say. I'm going to briefly pass to Andy for kind of initial thoughts, but I would say that given the Gophers' record for this year, and in terms of who the Gophers beat, and more importantly, who they didn't beat, it seems that Minnesota getting into the NIT might have had something to do with some other teams deciding they didn't want to play basketball any much. I don't know, Andy, if you feel similarly or if you think I'm being overly conspiratorial on that thing.
I think it's a little A and a little B. I mean, two of the big teams that finished ahead of the Gopher in the Big Ten, both Northwestern and Michigan State, did not accept NIT bids. And so potentially that's why the Gophers got in instead of some of those teams. They both had pretty high-rated players who were going to be high WNBA draft picks who they decided not necessarily to stick around. So, that's one thing. Yes, honestly, it's sort of a big question why Minnesota, at 3 games under 500, was the only team below 500 to get a women's NIT bid. Either Lindsay Whalen and company are that big of a draw, or they really needed another Midwest team to fill up the bracket, which I think partially might be true as well, as the women's NIT, at least for the first rounds, goes much more of a regional scheduling. That's why the Gophers will end up heading to Green Bay to play the Green Bay Phoenix Thursday night. And then if they get past that game, they probably will head to South Dakota State, would be my guess, for a game against the Jackrabbits, assuming they make it out of their first-round matchup. But yeah, that'll be the thing, with the high school, girls' state high school basketball tournament going on at Williams. There's nowhere for the women to play, so they'll be on the road the entire time. It's not even like they're trying to get a high attendance. Not that, that many people would show up for a women's NIT game at Barn right now anyways, but it's not even like they're trying to get a high ticket. It's just the Gophers are just another team. So to be brutally honest, don't know much about the Phoenix other than they're in the Horizon League, and they obviously fared fairly well this season.
They didn't beat a single team of note in a major conference.
Well, there you go. So if Siskelia's game's on, then Minnesota should be able to beat Green Bay. That's the way it is. Which Gopher team will show up? Your guess is as good as mine. If they can get a couple more wins and get to a better position for next year, so be it. But I don't think anybody's really seeing that the Gophers are going to go on a run through women's NIT and try and make some moves here. I think it'll probably be a couple extra games and we'll move on with our lives.
What is true that the passage of time will happen regardless of this game. As a very minor point for the people who are choosing to watch, which in some sense why, but if you are particularly interested, Green Bay by and large is a pretty guard heavy offense, which bodes well for Minnesota. They do not have a strong post game, at least any player who regularly is scoring a lot of points from inside the post. They don't score a whole lot of points as a team, period, just to be clear, which is advantageous for the Gophers. The Gophers, as Andy mentioned, should be more talented than Green Bay, because frankly, the fact that Minnesota is below 500 this season is an incredible disappointment. However, I would agree with Andy that it is unlikely that Minnesota will be making a sort of pseudo Cinderella run to the NIT finals. But I think they win on Thursday.
Well, we'll keep an eye on that, of course, as we get to next week's edition of the pod. The Gopher women in hockey had an unfortunate weekend, failing to advance past the NCAA quarterfinals to a Frozen Four at Penn State, losing to UMD. Yeah, that sucks. Andy, you know, my take from reading the recaps was kind of a fuck around and find out situation.
Yeah, the Gophers sort of were really, really sloppy. I mean, we've seen them play much better this year. They did a lot of what the Gopher men were doing when they were struggling earlier in the year. They could not get out of their own zone. You know, they just were inconsistent. They couldn't break out. They couldn't get into the, you know, full zone control in the UMD end, and it ended up catching up to them. They made a couple of big mistakes. Lauren Bench made a brutal mistake on the first Bulldog goal, a save she easily should have made, flubbed it, went off the top of her glove and fell behind her and slid into the net. And then the second one, there were a trio of Gophers fighting for the puck, and not one of them could outwin one UMD player. And it was the one of the two UMD players you could not lose puck to, Gabby Hughes, who put the game one goal in. You know, credit to UMD, Emma Soderberg was amazing. Net 30-cent saves. She shut down anything Minnesota had. And frankly, it was what we saw from the Gophers and Bulldogs in the regular season. Soderberg played all four games in the regular season, and only once did those two teams win by more than one goal. And that was one goal. It's 3-1. Minnesota got a goal with a minute and a half left. So basically every single time those two teams played when Soderberg was in net, it was a one-goal game. The Gophers won 2, UMD won 2, and this time UMD pulled off the third one. So, you know, credit to them. They now get to play Northeastern, who knocked off Wisconsin in one semifinal, and Ohio State and Yale play in the other one. So I think probably the Frozen Four is Ohio State's to lose. They probably, arguably on paper, the best team left, but weird things can happen when you're down to four teams. So, those games will be played Thursday, Saturday out in Pegula, Penn State, and we'll be giving them much less attention than we might have a week ago, because we have our own big game Saturday night that's going to draw the majority of the attention around here.
Yeah, speaking of that, of course, the men this past weekend won their Big Ten semifinal game, advancing to the Big Ten Conference Tournament Finals, held at home at Mariucci. Game is essentially sold out, handful of tickets here or there left, student section fully sold out, 5 sections. Looks like it'll be a rocking environment for the Big Ten Championship. Andy, I'm just kind of interested in your take on what you're looking forward to coming into this weekend.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's going to come down to how well the Gophers can play, I think, defensively. Both these teams can score. The Gophers have, with Justin Close, they split with Michigan when they were here back in January. And it's going to be a matter of, you know, honestly, what team wants it more and who's willing to play. The way the Gophers play like they did to close out the regular season, it'll be good. If they play like they did last week against Penn State, in which Bob Motzko called it a clunker, Michigan's going to win this by a couple of goals. There's no doubt about that. And really, other than a banner, Michigan has nothing to play for. They're locked into a number one seed in the NCAA tournament. Minnesota, honestly, has more to play for. If the Gophers do beat Michigan, they probably will get a number one seed, but it's still not guaranteed. They need some help in the NCHC. Basically, if Western Michigan wins their semifinal against North Dakota and then beats Denver for the title, the Broncos will leapfrog the Gophers into that number four slot in the pairwise and take the final number one seed no matter what happens. To be brutal, between the 4 and 5, it doesn't really matter, other than one team gets to wear the white jersey, one gets to wear the color jerseys, and one gets last change if those two teams would face off in the regional final. So it's not a huge deal. The Gophers are locked into a one or two regardless, but it would be really nice to make sure we get a second banner to hang with our first one already, and then have a good chance to go into the NCAA tournament on a high note. Then again, you know, if the Gophers are going to falter, you much rather they do it against Michigan on Saturday than they do in their first round game, whoever they may play. So there's a couple of different ways to look at it, but I do think the raucous crowd, the Gophers will feed off of that. You know, this is going to be the loudest and biggest crowd they've had all season long. It's going to be just a great environment in Mariucci. There are, like as Chris said, I think about 400 tickets at this moment. And so if you're listening to this and want to get into the building, you better go quick and see what you can find. But yeah, the Selection Sunday is Sunday 5:30 on ESPNU. We'll find out where the Gophers are headed. Most likely somewhere out east. The four regionals, Denver is hosting one in Loveland, Colorado, and then Penn State's hosting one and then two up in New England. So the Gophers have a fairly good chance. They're flying out east someplace. So we'll see how exactly the matchups shake out. But, you know, either a one or a two seed when we find out on Sunday.
Gopher men also nearly a clean sweep on the Big Ten individual awards.
Yeah, it's been a big week for awards for Gopher hockey. As you said, the men, the Big Ten awards were announced Tuesday. Ben Myers, Big Ten Player of the Year. Brock Faber was named the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year, and then Bob Motzko won Big Ten Coach of the Year. And then all Big Ten teams, Faber and Myers were on the first team. Jackson Lacombe and Matthew Nyes were on the sec team. And then a bunch of on the honorable mention as well. Nye is also named to the all-freshman team. And then earlier on Wednesday, Ben Myers was officially named one of the 10 finalists for the Hobey Baker Award. Obviously, Hobey Baker goes to the best college hockey player in the nation. We'll find out at the end of March whether he makes the final three, and then the award has actually been out during the Frozen Four. But Myers, with some of the best stats in the nation, also didn't mention, but Peyton Hemp, Gopher hockey, women's hockey freshman, was named the National Freshman of the Year on Wednesday as well. She led the WCHA, and freshman was named the WCHA Freshman of the Year, and then the National Assistant Coaches gave her the National Rookie of the Year earlier this week. So congratulations to both them. Also, as Taylor Heise, still, as we mentioned before, is one of the top 10 finalists for the Patty Kazmaier Award. I believe the final three of that are announced Thursday, so we'll see whether she makes the top three for that or not, or whether her getting outplayed a little bit the last couple of weekends may cost her when it comes to that potential award.
Well, a couple other pieces of hardware on the line for a pair of Gophers. Sarah Bacon, Gable Steveson, both have championships coming up this weekend, correct?
Yep, they're both looking to go back-to-back, or in Bacon's case, back-to-back-to-back. The Women's Swim and Diving National Championships are down in Atlanta, hosted by Georgia Tech. Bacon has got four individual NCAA championships. She did the double, winning both the 1 meter and 3 meter springboards last year. She'll go for the double yet again this year. Thursday evening will be the finals in the 1 meter. Friday will be the finals in the 3 meter. She's the favorite to win both. She's already the most decorated individual Gopher female athlete in history, looking to add to those totals with potential two more titles. And then the NCAA Wrestling Championships are in Detroit this weekend. Nine Gophers making the trip, but realistically, Gable Steveson, the only one that has a chance to probably win an individual NCAA championship. In fact, it would probably be a ridiculous upset if he does not win his second NCAA championship. The question is just going to be, how brutal is he going to make it on his opponents on the way through? So those finals will be Saturday night as well. So we could have a Gopher winning an NCAA title Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, and then the Gopher Hockey Big Ten Championships also Saturday night. So it could be a very, very busy weekend.
And to close out, gymnastics, you know, getting some awards and making their case for seeding in the national tournament, really, with the upcoming Big Ten Championships.
Yep, they also have the Big Ten Championships this weekend. If you're looking for another crazy busy event, that'll be Saturday afternoon in Columbus. Lexi Ramler and Ola Loper have to be, you know, two of the favorites to win the all-around. Individual event championships, Rambler's got to be one of the favorites on both the bars and beam. Loper on the vault. Floor exercise, Maya Hooten with three perfect tens this year has got to be one of the favorites there. Then they're just trying to finish, get ready for NCAA regionals here in the first week of April. But this is the last big meet till then. Gophers did win the Big Ten championships last year when it was held at the PAV. They love to go back-to-back. Michigan has to be probably the number one favorite, though. They are still, I believe, the number one ranked team in the country, and they've got just ridiculous depth. So I would expect Minnesota and Michigan to finish 1-2 in some order, but it would be great if the Gophers can put it all together and find a way to go back-to-back this weekend.
Well, it's a big, busy weekend. You'll have plenty of basketball, you've got big hockey, you've got wrestling, you've got swimming, you've got gymnastics, you've got it all to keep yourself tuned in for across hopefully multiple TVs and all of your mobile devices. But of course, make sure to tune in next week for another edition of the SkyU Podcast, where we'll talk about everything that's happened in the world of Gophers and perhaps some of the craziness from NCAA March Madness as well. In the meantime, go Gophers. SkyU Ma, row the boat.